Our gospel reading is taken from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you, falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask that these words would burn within our heart, that they would be a reminder of who it is that we are to be as the children of God, of how the world around us will revile and persecute us. Lord, I pray that the words that I am about to speak are not my own, but yours and yours alone. May our hearts and our minds be open to hear the message that you have for each of us today. We pray this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The first thing you may have noticed about the reading of the Beatitude that we heard this morning is that it is three times longer than all of the other Beatitudes that we have looked at. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor, those who mourn, those who are meek, those who hunger and thirst, the merciful, the pure in heart, the peacemakers." But in this Beatitude, he makes it very personal. He says, "Blessed are you." He is telling us that if we live out the blessings that we have learned about in the past 7 weeks, that we are going to be treated differently by those who do not know our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And he tells us how it is that we should respond to that treatment. He tells us that as people revile us and persecute us, that we should be glad, that we should be rejoicing. Let us look at the words revile and persecute. Revile means to criticize in an abusive way, to insult someone, to badmouth, and to condemn. Those are just a few of the meanings. Persecute means to treat someone with hostility, to harass, to badger, to bully, to intimidate, to punish, to martyr. I think most of us, when we hear the word persecute, we think of death, don't we? And death is certainly part of that. And when we think of persecution for faith, we often think of those who live in other countries who are killed for their faith in Jesus Christ. This week, I heard the name Rachel Scott on the news. To be honest with you, I don't know what the story was about. But I believe God had me hear that name because it reminds us that persecution for our faith in death happens here in the United States as well. How many of you remember Rachel Scott? Rachel Scott was a 17-year-old who was shot to death at Columbine High School in 1999, along with Cassie Burnell, who was shot to death after being asked, "Do you believe in God?" She responded, "Yes," and she was killed. Do you fear that you will be killed for your faith? I know that there is fear in the churches, in many churches, because of shootings that have happened in churches, but I can assure you that most of those did not happen because of people's faith. They happened because of domestic violence. But do you fear death for your faith? I think what a great testimony to our faith. If we are willing to go to our death before we deny our faith in Jesus Christ, what does that tell the world? If we are saved by grace and faith, we should not fear death. But how many of us fear being reviled or persecuted by means other than death for our faith? Of being badmouthed, of being harassed, of being rejected. This beatitude of blessing reminds us that not only do we have to make that choice, but we have to make the commitment as well. Do we live our lives for Jesus Christ? Totally, completely. Or do we only do it when it's convenient for us? When we were at Faith Day a few weeks ago, our tent was set up right in front of a store, and I believe the name of the store is called Exposed Graphics. They had a stand there, and they had some t-shirts that they were selling for Faith Day, and one of the t-shirts said, "God wants full custody, not just weekend visits." There's truth in that. And there are those that are committed 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. But there are also those who only commit their lives to the Lord for 1 hour or possibly two on a Sunday morning. If that's where you're at, I praise you for being here. But I also want you to know what your life can be like if you commit it completely to the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know the joy that can come to your life, the peace that you can know, and the love of our Lord and Savior. So I would encourage you to make that confession of your sins, to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, to read God's Word daily, to spend time in conversation with Him, to become part of a small group, whether that be Sunday school or a Bible study or a men or women's group, and to seek God's will for your life. And if you are one who has already committed your life to Christ, I pray that you are doing all of those things. See, the joy of knowing God intimately helps us overcome our grief. It helps us stand up for what is right, knowing right from wrong. It helps us share the love of Jesus Christ with others, those who are very different than us. See, knowing the love of God helps us to be able to reach out to those who are not yet here. It helps us to offer mercy to others. It helps us to build relationships with others. It's something that goes deeper than ourselves. And we can do things that we could never imagine we could do on our own when God's Holy Spirit is leading us and guiding us. See, we serve an awesome God. And when we know Him personally and we follow His way, we cannot be filled with anything but joy and gladness. No matter how much someone tries to belittle us, no matter how much someone tries to hurt us, no matter how much someone rejects us. Another question that I have for you is, how many of us are afraid, or maybe the word shouldn't necessarily be afraid, but uncomfortable going out into our neighborhoods and building relationships? I know some of you live in housing developments. Are you building relationships in those developments? The reason I ask is because that's where it all starts. It all starts with building relationships with other people. We can't offer the Savior of the world to people if we don't build relationships with them. Not to toot my own horn, because it's not of me, but it's of Christ living in me. In this last week, I had two people give me positive feedback about me walking through the neighborhood and stopping to talk to them. Now, I can tell you, no conversation was probably more than 10 minutes long. But since I know both of the persons that I spoke to, I know that I actually stopped and talked to them more than once. Maybe just to say, "Hi, how are you today?" But when I asked that question, I didn't just walk on by. How often do we do that? How often do we say to someone, "Hi, how are you today?" But we keep on going. See, to build a relationship, we need to stop and we need to listen to the question that we ask. Myra and I met several people as we passed out flyers for Reading on the Lawn and VBS. And yesterday we met some new people as we passed out flyers for our kickoff next week. We stopped and had conversations with them. Why am I telling you this? Because I want us to remember the meaning of the words revile and persecute. See, Jesus tells us that that's how we will be treated by those outside. And some of the doors we may have knocked on weren't interested in talking to us. But as Christians, we need to remember that we are not here to revile and persecute others. We're not here to harass people. We're not here to badger people. We're not here to criticize them or condemn them. We are here to share the love of Jesus Christ. And how we do that is by building relationships with them. I read an article about a couple who in 1941 took their son and went to the Philippines. Shortly after the Japanese invaded the Philippines, they thought that they would be there as missionaries for about a year, maybe a little longer. But once they got there, they discovered that they would be there for a minimum of 3 years. The wife said to her husband, "We can't last 3 years living like this." Her husband said, "We don't have to. We don't have to live 3 years at once. We live one day at a time." That became their working philosophy, and they were there for more than 4 years, sharing God's love in concentration camps. They said they took advantage of every opportunity that was presented to love and support the people that they were with, to show them respect and concern. As Christians, we are to live one day at a time, maybe one conversation at a time. We should take every opportunity that we have to reach out to someone else in love and support, to have those small conversations that help us to build relationships with other people. Not by judging them, not by criticizing them, not by condemning them, but by respecting them and loving them. Now, we also need to remember that while we're not judging or criticizing or condemning, we're not about pleasing people either. We're about pleasing the Lord. So we need to stand strong in our faith. We don't want to be people who go around hitting people over the head with the Bible, but we also want to remain true to the words that God has given us. We want to reach out to people and we want to invite them in. Here's what we need to understand. We need to understand that all people are welcome in God's house. And we also need to understand that as we invite them in, they may not positively respond. Today, every family was given a door hanger with information about our fall kickoff next week. I would ask that you share that with one person. Take that opportunity to have that conversation with someone and invite them to come and hear the word of the Lord. Begin to have that conversation in building a relationship. And if you give that flyer to someone new, introduce yourself. Ask that person or persons some general questions. How is your day? And if they say good, say, tell me, what's making it a good day for you? If they say rotten, say why, what happened that today is so bad? And maybe if they share that, there will be a way that you'll be able to reach out and show them the love of Jesus Christ. Maybe start a conversation and see if they have any hobbies. If they work and where they work. Doesn't matter what the question is that you ask them. What's important is that you listen to their answers. See, that's how conversations begin. They begin by asking the question and then listening to the response that allows you then to converse with that person, to begin to build a relationship, to show them that you care about what they have to say. This is an important thing about relationships, is they don't happen with just one conversation. So at the end of that conversation, it isn't about, hey, come to my church, but it's about, how can I help you? Maybe you need to build on that relationship before you even invite them to worship. Maybe you need to first invite them to lunch or to have a cup of coffee to continue building that relationship. But at some point, God's going to open that door for you to invite this person to join you for a small group or for worship. What we need to remember is our walk with God must remain strong. And for it to remain strong, we need to continue to build our relationship with Jesus Christ. So as we're building our relationship with the Lord, we need to show others how that impacts our lives as we reach out to them in patience and love and kindness and caring. And when we do, they will see Christ. We also need to remember there will be times that we begin to build these relationships and we invite people in to hear the word of God and they're going to reject that invitation. Please do not be offended. Continue to pray for that person, for those persons, and continue to do the work that God's calling you to. See, I think we often fail to build relationships because we're afraid. We're afraid of being reviled and persecuted for our faith. We're afraid of unkind words and actions toward us. We're afraid that people will think badly of us. We're afraid of the emotional hurt and pain that will come to us. But the good news is, God is victorious. God has already won the battle for us. And so when we hold on to our commitment and when we are led by the Holy Spirit and continue to put our trust in our triune God, we've already won the battle. So go forth to live as Christ lived, working to build relationships. Jesus built relationships with people as he ministered to them. When people do accept your invitation to come and hear the word of the Lord, maybe you want to bring them that first time. Or maybe you want to meet them outside and walk in with them. I don't know about you, most of you, how many of you have been in this church your whole lives? When I first came to this building and looked at it, I'll be honest, this building is intimidating to those who have never been here. And so when we reach out and invite someone in, especially someone who has never been in worship, they may look at this building and be overwhelmed. So I would invite you to take their hand, to journey with them, to bring them in where they know that the people that are here are loving and kind and caring. It's not easy. And Satan will do everything he can to keep people from coming in those doors. This blessing, though, is more than a martyr's blessing. It is a reminder that life in Christ means that there are no spectators. We aren't few potatoes. We are called to reach out to others in the love of Jesus Christ. We are to all be active participants. And along the way, we're probably going to get cuts and scrapes and nasty things said about us. But we need to remember that when people revile and persecute us, God blesses us. Amen.